and it went like.
Hello, this is Elsbeth Magilton, one of your hosts for the Girls Code Lincoln podcast. In March 2020, our clubs, like organizations across the world, had to shut down. During that time, we still wanted to be there to support and inspire our students. Focusing on confidence and life skills, we started the Empow Her presentation series. Our speakers met directly with our clubs online, and the talks are available on the Girls Code Lincoln YouTube channel. The speakers in the series had a variety of career backgrounds. We know that confidence and leadership skills matter in any industry. Even as our club started back up, we recognized the need for kids to hear from confident, underrepresented voices in our community, perhaps now more than ever. This spring, in conjunction with the Women Lead Conference sponsored by the University of Nebraska Colleges of Business and Law, we're reviving the Empower series on the podcast. We've invited speakers at this one-day conference to join Aukerty and I for interviews that will come out as standalone episodes in the Empower Her series, or if they're some related, in one of our regular episodes. We are so pleased to welcome Amy Bartels to the show.
Thank you so much.
Well, can you just give us a quick introduction of who you are and your current work? We'll dive into work a little bit more on the questions below, but just to set the stage.
Sure. So my name's Amy Bartels. I am a Lincoln native, so born and raised here. I now work as an assistant professor in the College of Business in the management department. So what I do is I teach students about the people in their organizations. So what I want them to learn is how they can best motivate people, how they can lead people, how they can help people learn to work on teams. All those type of skills is what I teach and do research on.
So let's take it back to the beginning, right? Where are you from? Where did you grow up?
I'm actually from Lincoln, born and raised. So I went to school here, born in Lincoln, went all the way to school here, went to the University of Nebraska for Lincoln for undergrad. Then I decided to go to law school. So I went to law school here at Nebraska as well and got my law degree along with my master's in higher education. I worked in higher education for about 3 years before I decided that I wanted to go back and do a PhD. So I switched career paths again.
It's a lot of degrees.
I did, yes. We like to joke that the reason that I'm a professor is because I'm a lifelong learner. I just kept loving to go to school. So then I went down to Arizona State. So lived in Phoenix for 5 years and pursued my PhD. We loved the weather down there, but we missed the people in Nebraska. Yeah. So when a job opened up here in Nebraska, I jumped at the chance to come back.
So when you were a kid, did you grow up wanting to do what you do now?
That is a great question, and absolutely not. What I kind of love about my path is it's so unique, but everyone's can be. So I grew up, and if you asked me when I was little, I said that I was probably going to be a basketball player or a soccer player. Sports has always been a fun thing, part of my life, but I have nowhere near the athletic ability to actually play a professional sport. And then when I actually was in high school and starting to go to college, I thought that I wanted to be a doctor. So to me, that was kind of the field where if you were smart, that's what you did. But then I got to college and it really opened my eyes that smart girls, smart men, they do everything. And so then I kind of explored some different things and I actually ended up getting a history degree. So I loved learning about history and I loved doing that sort of stuff. So I ended up getting my history degree before then going to law school. And then in law school, I loved a lot of what I was learning, but I knew I didn't want to practice law. And so that's why I did my master's at the same time. And so I wanted to work in education. And I always have really enjoyed the education system. And finding my fit in the education system took a little while. But so for a while when I was working in higher education, I was working in admissions, actually. And so I was helping to recruit and help people understand why I loved the University of Nebraska so much. And then I went back and decided that I wanted to teach. So a very winding, roundabout way to get to where I was.
Tell me about the transition from history to law.
Yeah, so I had gotten some experience in the legal field, which is why I decided to go to law school. Just basic small stuff like interning or shadowing. So nothing substantive by any means. But I thought that history would really give me a good foundation to understand the law. Because what I kept hearing about law school is, oh, it's a lot of reading. It's a lot of writing, which is what history is as well. It's just reading and writing different stuff. So I thought, okay, why don't I develop those skills in college so that maybe I can be successful in law school.
I think kind of a fun thing to point out about that too is that the law is so contextual. Mm-hmm. So your ability to read history and think about history, I can clearly see how that would make law, the practice of law, or at least the practice of learning about law, easier, right? That those are kind of the same skills.
Yeah.
So tell us more about what you do now.
Yeah. So now I'm an assistant professor, which means I do really two things. One, I get to be in the classroom. So I get to work with students, both teaching them, advising them, hopefully mentoring them, getting to know the students. I do both undergraduate students and I work in our MBA program as well. So I work with students all the way from 18 years old all the way up to 40 some years old and even older sometimes. So I get to experience learners of all ages. And then I also do a lot of research. So I am a research professor, which essentially means that I get to basically kind of figure out anything I'm curious about and dive into it and figure out more about it. Yeah. So I work with a lot of companies around town and I'll work with them and I'll be like, hey, I'm interested in learning more about this topic, and we'll try and fit in with their strategic goals. And we'll design kind of research together, and I'll conduct the research and go from there.
Was the University of Nebraska your first position after getting your PhD?
Yes, it was. Yeah. Yep.
Can you tell us a little bit more about what it feels like to get a PhD, particularly, you know, a law degree? We always joke it's the fastest doctorate you can get. It's technically a doctorate.
Yep.
And so then going and getting another degree on top of that, a little bit about that experience.
Yeah. So the business PhD was very different than law school. So law school is a lot more school. So you go to class, you study, you learn, but we're kind of all in the same building and you're going to classes together and you're learning that experience. The PhD is a little bit different because you start engaging in the research while you're taking your classes. So it's almost like you're doing the research while learning how to do the research. It's kind of a weird combination. But so you come in and typically you have an advisor or two that you work with and you start doing research right from that first one. I took a variety of classes. So some was in my content area. So learning more about what's called organizational behavior. So all the people in organizations. So like I said, we do teams, leadership, all that sort of stuff. But a big part of it is we're doing data analysis. So I do a lot of data analysis as well. And so,
Math. Here's our STEM
all the time. I mean, I do so many statistics. Statistics is a huge part of what I do, and that was actually something that I had quite a learning curve, because coming from a history major, we don't do as much math. Yes. But I love that part of my job. I love diving into a data set, and it's like, to me, it's like putting this huge puzzle together, and I'm putting all the and writing the code and doing all those different things. And that was the part of the PhD that I didn't realize that I would love. I loved the subject area and I was really excited to start the PhD, but that was the part, the more I learned about it, the more I loved it. So that's been really exciting for me in my career.
Were math and statistics something that you liked in high school, or something that you'd ever liked kind of before going into history and law?
So I always found them kind of easy. So math came easy to me. And so because of that, I think I really liked it. But I honestly never considered doing a major in that. I don't know why. It was just something like, I was like, oh, a math major. What would I do with that? I couldn't see a path forward when I was an undergrad until I got into the PhD. And I was like, oh, this is where I could have gone with a math major or doing more statistics classes and that sort of stuff. I just didn't know at that time.
Tell us about any internships or externships or other kind of experience-based opportunities you had in college that helped kind of guide you to where you are now.
So this is actually more of a club type thing. So there is something here called the Nebraska Human Resources Institute. And it's essentially a mentoring type program. But what it does is it pairs college students with kids from kindergarten all the way up to 12th grade, but it's based on their strengths. And so it's kids that have the potential to be a great leader and a positive leader in their community. Mm-hmm. So it sees these kids that maybe they're really extroverted, but maybe they're really introverted, but they have this kind of strength that a teacher or a counselor has noticed in them that they think they could be a really positive leader to others. And they pair them with a college student. And part of our job is basically to help them recognize these strengths and develop them and use them for good, basically. Yeah. And so that type of positive psychology that goes into that is really the basis for all of my research that I do. And so I didn't realize it at the time. That was one of my favorite things I did in undergrad. And I didn't realize at the time that I could turn that into a career. Yeah. But yeah, that was something that was really influential to me.
I love that. That is mentoring about what's right with people, mm-hmm. instead of trying to figure out and solve what's wrong with people. Yep. I love that approach. That's, yeah. I think, so important and so good. And
yeah.
I love seeing the trend that I think more people are thinking about mentorship that way. Is that a trend that you think that you see?
Yeah. And positive psychology in general is becoming a much more popular field. It's not something actually that was even talked about before, 20, 30 years ago, mm-hmm. at all. Like, all psychology was fixing the negative almost. And now they've got this whole area, positive organizational scholarship is what they call it. And we've got people all over the country that focus on the positive, mm-hmm. and how can we take positive things and make them grow and make them even better? And I really resonate with that approach of finding the good and making it grow.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
No, absolutely. So we like to do a fill in the blank round,
okay.
right? So what is the blank part of your career, right? So what is the best part of your career?
Finding the puzzle. So when I'm doing my data and when I kind of discover something that I think is cool and could help people, mm-hmm. and really finding out that kind of that aha moment, I guess, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I love that, right? Because I think in so many different fields, there's different types of aha moments. Certainly in STEM, like, and in mathematics, those sorts of things, I think they're, this is just my bias as a person who has a background in development, but is also a lawyer, I think it's better. Like that, yes. moment when the code works, yes. when the plan works, you know, those really highly technical things, that is just like the best,
yeah.
feeling.
Yeah.
What is the hardest part of your career?
In my career, there's a lot of rejection. So a lot of what I do with my research is I'll send it off to journals and it is peer reviewed. And so people that are my peers, and it's blind, but they're still my peers, they're taking my research and essentially tearing it apart.
Yes.
It's the way the process works. But then even when they're telling you we see value in it, there's also a lot of things that say you need to change all of this or this is all wrong. And so sometimes it's hard to see the, we see value in this, with all that rejection. Mm-hmm. But it's just kind of the way our field works right now.
Yeah. What is the scariest part?
The scariest part, I guess, is never knowing if something's going to be work or be well received. So when I dive into a new research project, or when I'm trying something new in the classroom, in my head, it always seems like this really cool idea, but you never quite know how it's going to be received by others. And so that's scary to sometimes put yourself out there.
Yeah. What's the most rewarding part?
For me, it's working with people. So all my research is done on teams. And so I get to choose my own team, and I love the people I work with. And so that's very rewarding. And then especially my undergrad students, seeing them take what we've learned and excel in a future career. Mm-hmm. So I'll have students email me years later and they're like, oh, remember we talked about this in your class, or they're applying it even sometimes to their student organizations or to their future, not even sometimes their future careers, but when they're able to connect something that we talked about in class to their own life, mm-hmm. that's really rewarding for me.
So I like to round up these interviews with inspiration. And I think we can find inspiration in lots of different ways, both in our successes and in our missteps.
Yes.
So my first question as we wind up is, tell us about a big failure in your life.
So I'm going to go back a ways. So like I said, I loved sports, even though they didn't always love me. But when I was in high school, I tried out for kind of a select summer basketball team. Didn't make the team, which kind of crushed me. And I got the, you know, email about it. And I just like, okay, well, I guess I just won't do it. In the email was an offer. And it said, hey, you didn't make the team. But if you'd like to come and practice with us just to get better, you're welcome to come practice. And I said, well, no, why would I want to do that? I just failed. You just told me I wasn't good enough. My dad said, well, why don't you try it for a couple weeks? And I did. And I was able to see just so much growth in my skills. And they included me just like I was part of the team. So I didn't get to play any of the games. I didn't get to travel the tournaments, but I was at practice. And they included me and helped me grow as a basketball player. And that was a really good lesson for me that – failure, there can be opportunities in failure. You just have to find them. And so that was a really concrete of, oh, you can still come practice even though you failed. So sometimes they're a lot harder to see, but there are opportunities in failure. And if you can find it, it might end up being the most rewarding experience for you.
I also just want to take a minute to like appreciate how brave you had to have been as a teenager to go and practice with the team you didn't make, right? That you have to be willing to say, like, to do that in front of the people who did make the team and all those sorts of pieces. So that takes, that's courage, right? That's being willing to put yourself out there. And that's really cool. And I think it's awesome for our listeners to hear about that.
Thanks. Well, and I just, support people can really help. Find people that can help and push you to be brave. Because I wasn't going to be brave on my own until my dad pushed me to be brave. And so that was really rewarding.
Absolutely. So tell us about a big success in your life.
You know, for me, actually, getting a job here at Nebraska was a big success for me. So my family is very supportive. I have a husband and I have four young children. Oh, wow. And they were willing to go wherever I got a job. But we have a lot of family here. We have a lot of friends here and really wanted to come back to Nebraska. And so for me, working hard to the PhD program and having great mentors was able to then get jobs, because jobs in academia are kind of hard to find right now.
Yes.
And so that for me was a really important success, not only because it helped me in my career, but it felt like I was getting my family at the best place for them to be as well. So that was really exciting.
All right, our last question. What is the best piece or the biggest piece of advice you have to a young woman finding their way?
You know, I would say try and keep an open mind. So as I was going through high school and college, and even before that, I always had to have a very clear path. I needed to see the end. Okay, I'm working towards this goal and this is the end. But sometimes that closed me off to opportunities and closed me off to different perspectives. And so I would say try and open your mind and try and talk to different people and get different perspectives on things, because that can sometimes lead you to a really awesome opportunity that you didn't even know was there.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Amy. We really appreciate you being here today. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in. And thanks to Lysandra Marquez, our Girls Code Lincoln volunteer and the technical producer of this podcast. Our theme music is Then It Went Like by Grace Mesa. Girls Code Lincoln is a 501c3 nonprofit organization in Lincoln, Nebraska, where we strive to ignite passion for technology and leadership in young girls with the long-term goal of closing the gender gap in STEM. Learn more at girlscodelincoln.org. Thanks to our Girls Code Lincoln sponsors, including Fuse Co-working for our beautiful working space, the Nebraska Governance and Technology Center at the University of Nebraska for Technical Services, and the Mentors Foundation, Huddle, Assurity, Emeritus, and Don't Panic Labs for their organizational support. Want to hear more from women in business and coding? Tell your friends about this podcast and share it on social media. Word of mouth is our best advertising.